Yeah, it was an abrupt ending. What can I say? You know,
I don't care.
I was throwing that together this morning really quick, so, you know.
I don't care, Lonzo. Because what did Lonzo bring back is a nice little treat from Columbia, South Carolina. But yet one more crystal trophy that now, and for the first time we can say it this way, boys and girls, the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. Three-time, put them up three times. Atta boy, Zoe. Atta boy.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
It's not bad. I'm going to take it one step further and say it's really good. In fact, I'm going to say right now it's exceptionally good.
Yeah, good luck. You actually got that to stay on there. I could not do that.
No, it fell off.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah. There's a point to there's a star on top of the trophy, and it gave this little plastic piece to put on top so the peak doesn't break off, and it just comes right off. But, I mean, you know, the trophy is not cheap, though. It's heavy.
It is heavy.
It is a very heavy trophy.
It is heavy. We know.
Like the crown.
Because we've got them three times now.
The crown is heavy. The trophy's heavy. But, you know.
We wear them both well. Ladies and gentlemen, the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year is on the air. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to August, by the way. That's a thing that's happening now.
Hey, Rob, congratulations.
Hey, Lonzo, congratulations.
Because, I mean, we texted, but this is the first time we've talked because you were busy.
I want you to know, when I started getting the text from Zoe signifying to me that the partay had commenced in Columbia, South Carolina, for those of you that don't know, this past weekend I was over in ATL with the boys for a little bachelor party weekend, all right? Because I'm getting married for the first, last, and only time. And so we were over in the ATL, and it got to be about 6 o'clock or so on Saturday, right? We went to a baseball game Friday night. It got to be about 6 o'clock or so on Saturday. And the fellas say, hey, Robbie B., what do you want to do? You want to go out and grab some dinner? You want to go grab a burger? Do we want to head to an Irish pub? What do you want to do to celebrate Saturday? And I had gotten mere minutes before that the first of a set of text messages from the great one, which indicated to me that the festivities were underway. And I looked at them. My little brother, who set the whole thing up, right? The best man, the BMOC. The handful of guys that had driven from various parts of the great United States to be in Hotlanta, Georgia for the weekend. And I said, I'm going to keep it a buck with the boys. You're going to need to give me about an hour to an hour and a half. And they said, why? Are you sleepy? Are you tired? We've been going pretty hard in the paint. Are you tired? I said, no. I am not tired. I am riddled with anxiety right now because I know right now the great one is sitting at a table in Columbia, South Carolina. And as of right now, they are beginning to call people up on that podium to tell them either, hey, here's a big old fat crystal trophy for you to take home, or hey, here's a little slip of paper that says you're second best. And while I will say that, I spent the last 2 weeks telling the great one, you know what? If we go 3 for 3 in silver, we're still 3 for 3 with silver, right? Like at the end of the Olympics, what do they mention first? Medal count, then number of golds.
Stop it.
I was lying the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I did. You know, in a theater or in a place where something major is going on and there's a quiet moment and someone accidentally does something that makes everyone look at them, I did that. I went... And it was so loud, everyone in the place looked at me. And we were two awards away from the announcement of the Sports Show of the Year. And it's like everyone looked at me, including everyone at the table. And I'm just like, what?
I don't care. I sat on a chair in an Airbnb in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, fellas, I ain't doing nothing. I'm doing nothing until Lonzo texts me and says, hey, man, Make some space on the trophy shelf. Or, hey, man, we got to go to Michael's on Monday to buy some frames because we got certificates. There was nothing else that was going to happen. And then it happened, and then I got the text from the great one that says, bango. Now, I will point out, as I think it is appropriate, that we were up for three, and we brought home the golden one. But it is, and I say this with all truth and sincerity that can possibly be mustered, if we were going to get one gold, we got the gold we wanted.
That is true. That is true.
I got one. This is the one you wanted to get.
In the building, there are only two shows that came away with victories. Everybody else pretty much got second place. And we had a record amount of wins last year. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, there's going to be a little bit of a backlash. And some people were starting to get silvers. And I'm like, oh, no. That's why I'm like, and I took my daughter for daughter daddy night, and first time I ever took her.
You guys looked adorable, by the way.
And she squeezed my arm right after I let out breath, and then when it happened, everyone on the table turned around and celebrated, which was cool. But still, that moment, there's no way to describe that moment right before they make the announcement, because you're waiting to hear, you don't want to hear your name. That's the thing. It's so weird. You do not want to hear your name because the first name that they announce is
second place.
The second place.
Yep. So. And while it is, again, I would be lying to tell you, it's absolutely an honor to pick up what they call a merit award. Lonzo and I come back with the merit award for best morning show broadcast personality or team. That means, according to the South Carolina Broadcasters Association, who takes submissions from radio stations all over the state, from morning show teams who want this trophy, Lonzo and I are the second best. Now, do you want to be second best? No, we got that Mamba mentality, all right? We got that killer mentality. And now that Zoe and I, who were, by the way, nominated for that for the first time because we just moved to the morning show, now that Zoe and I have got a year and a bit of a feel for the competition, what we're up against, you better believe we're coming for blood to go 2-for-2 next year. Now, the other one we got was a Sportscaster of the Year Merit Award, which we all knew that's just how that goes. Because Chris is the Tom Brady of local radio.
He's very, very disappointed in you. And the thing is, Will was sitting next to me, one of the other producers here, and he's like, well, you got a chance at this one. I was like, no.
No.
This is a known second place.
They might as well go ahead and name Sports Broadcaster of the Year the Chris Miller Memorial Trophy, and he's still winning it.
They should, right? Deservedly so. But at the same time, I mean, you see the pinnacle. So getting that second place, that's really good.
For sure. Listen, it would be an absolute lie to tell you that I am anything but honored and humbled to even be put into that group. Guys, this is every play-by-play guy, non-NFL or actually, I don't even know if the college guys are in on it, but every play-by-play guy in the state is eligible to submit and be considered. Chris just wins it every year because he's damn good at what he does.
And this, I think out of all the years I've been going, I think this is the first time he's ever talked to me, which is fine. He come up.
And he just came over to go, your boy's up.
He'd come over, where's Rob? And then I told him, he's like, that is so lame.
We should call him on the air later.
I was like, yeah, I thought it was pretty lame too. And then I told him, I was like, I'll tell him what you said, which I did.
And you did.
And then I saw him again because I knew I would. And he came up to us after we won the trophy for the best sports show. And I knew that his award, because you're right, it's his award, was coming up later, and that I would see him again. And I told him that you agreed that it was lame.
Listen. It's not lame because we had a fan-damn-tastic weekend.
Oh, I bet you did. I can't wait to hear about it. I will say, you know, when you're a kid and you're at the kids' table and you think, man, I cannot wait to move up to the grown-up table at Thanksgiving. That seems to be where all the fun is. And then you move up to the grown-ups table and you're like, man, this is boring. No offense to all the people there, but I don't like being at the grown-ups table. I like being at that extra table where all we can have fun, and I felt I don't know, like I was at work, and I don't want to do that.
I mean, you did get sat at the same table as the big boss.
Who is probably upset with me right now, and
you started with that before we came on the air, and I'm gonna need to know.
Here's an award right here. Here's the first award.
Well, it's upside down, so we can't read it.
Good. Here's an award. This is not. This is if you look at the name of the promo,
a 1,000 show promo.
Yes, for the fan who had 1,000 shows.
You.
You've done
probably 6,000.
Yeah,
shows.
Yeah, it's more than that.
We should make a promo about you called the 6,000 show.
Oh no, dude, we're like 10,000 at least. But I mean, 10 years, 5 days a week. I mean, there's vacations in there. But anyhow, so the promo comes up, and whose voice do I hear? Mark Ryan's voice. And I'm like, and it says the fan, and then Steve turns around and tells me to go up, and I said, no, I don't want to go up. And then he's looking at me like. Did you just defy when it was an automatic reaction for me? The GM's like, go up. And I was like, no, I ain't going up there. And it was kind of loud. And then he kept looking at it. So there was kind of a standoff and a stare down for a minute. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I got to go up there for this. So I go up on the stage, and one of the presenters who hands you the stuff says, congratulations, Mark. And I'm like, thank you, but I'm not Mark. And Cherie Taylor was up there. Dying laughing.
No doubt.
It's so, hopefully it's the last time I got to deal with the guy, unless we get reports from Detroit, because you never know. But yeah, I had to go up and win it. Now, in fairness, as was pointed out to me by my daughter, I was a part of those 1,000 shows, so I guess it makes sense, and the lone representative of the fan there.
There it is.
But after that, there were other awards, and Steve made Devin go up there, not me again. So that's why I think I'm in trouble. But, you know, one last time I had to deal with him. Did I react childishly?
Of course.
Yes. Yes, I did. Am I proud of it? Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Keep it above. I also feel like I got trolled.
So we have one trophy. As we said a bunch of times going into the weekend, if we can only bring back one piece of crystal, we wanted the one we got. All right, now I can't get it out of
there. Man, you're like tearing the whole thing up. What are you doing?
Oh, no, I messed up the satin lining.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I didn't even know it had styrofoam. I guess it makes sense. Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Gotta keep it safe.
Those are handcrafted boxes.
Crystal, baby.
Some dude like blew that glass and made that into a I don't know how they make it.
I don't know how they make them either. I don't care.
Yeah.
All I know is
our names are on there though.
Do you want to say the 3-time thing now? You should. Feels good.
I just want to do this.
I accept. Three-time Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year, according to the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. Put that in a damn promo, all right? Put that in a promo. We pretty much just did. Eric texts the show, 71307, the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. Eric texts the show, said, hey, Rob, congrats. It's glizzy time.
No.
Hell yeah, it is.
No.
Hell yeah, it is. Celebratory glizzies after the show today.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'll have to pass. On that, because, yeah.
Celebratory glizzies for half the show after the show today. Yeah, that needs to happen, all right? So we did it. Lonzo did it. I was along for the ride. Pretty excited about that. Merit Award second place silver medal for Sports Talk Radio Show Team or Personality.
No, that was, silver medal for morning show.
Morning show, sorry, yes. Yeah. For morning show Team or Personality and silver medal in the Chris Miller Memorial, but he's not dead yet. Sports Broadcaster of the Year trophy.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't put that on him. I mean,
it's not on him. That's just what it is. That's what the trophy is, and we are all good with it. We're all okay with it.
It's a Chris Miller celebration. Is what it is.
It really is. It really is. Glad to. I mean, if I'm gonna win silver, that's a dude I'm happy to win it to.
And I just gotta say, man, Garden Party was the lamest thing. Because nobody really knew what to do. I mean, next year, let's find something better. Okay.
Spin it back around to
SCBA as a person.
How about don't smack talk the people who give the trophies away? I really want to get to five time.
He's not the president anymore.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All right.
We would do that on merit, not on any favor gained by, you know, something.
Correct, but you never know. There might be like one guy, like he's like, oops, sorry, hanging chads.
We've already praised the one guy.
The one guy. All right. So thanks everybody for the thoughts and the nerves are somewhat back to normal. I will tell you multiple other things. Number one, got my ass kicked this weekend in the best kind of way. All right, in the best possible way. Did I get smoked this weekend? And I'm not upset about it. All right, I'm not mad about it at all. Had a phenomenal weekend. Want to thank my little brother for busting his behind to make a phenomenal weekend. Went to the ATL, little Braves action. I want you to know, we tried our best. Did not make it to the Lemon Pepper Wings. It was 100% on the agenda. All right, the game plan was that Saturday afternoon. We were going before it like got popping up in Magic City. Saturday afternoon, the boys were going to go get wings. All right? So that was the plan. Went to the baseball game Friday night. Friday morning. A handful of us got there Thursday night. Friday morning, the rest of the gang showed up. And so we went to a baseball game Friday night. Had a phenomenal time. Braves get the win. Turn around and drop the game three. But hey, they took two out of the three against Miami. All right? Went to the game Friday night. Went back to the house. And proceeded to enjoy the evening's activities till about 4 a.m. till about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a long night. And then we all went to bed and woke up with the realization that we had breakfast brunch plans on Saturday at 10 a.m. Now we ended up with about 4 total hours of sleep. So the game plan is, you know what? Do not be a Oh, cool. I got to fix my thing again. Don't be a punk. All right. Get up. Get out of bed. We're all going to get breakfast. So we did. And then they set up a couple hours at this. It's like Top Golf, but a simulator, right? You go in, you play golf in a simulator. It's very cool. Went and did that. And then we were like, all right, Magic City, let's go back to the house first. Let's get back to the house. Let's all go rest, relax, recoup. We'll go get some wings. None of us is. Let's go. Then we got to the house. That didn't happen. It was just nap, 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 nap. Little brother tried his best to stay awake. Nap, nap, nap. And then everybody woke up just in time to go, oh, crap, we got a comedy show and dinner tonight. Let's go get some burgers and hang out downtown. So we did. Still, phenomenal evening. But I have still yet to conquer the Magic City Lemon Pepper Wings. Wanted to. We just outdid ourselves in a way that prevented that from happening.
You're all a little bit older, too. Probably younger selves might have been able to handle that. Maybe.
That's also true. We got to talk SummerSlam at some point, right? Have to. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. We got 4 hours to do it. Stick around. The three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year is the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Happy Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and the great one, Lonzo, with you here on the show today. Show number 17,000 for Lonzo today. I did the math during the break. I counted them. You add up every show across every station he's ever done, gets up to 23,452.
I think you're short selling me. I do. if you think about the fact that I've been here working on my 25th year, yeah, it's probably quite a bit.
Probably is quite a bit. I have two things that I want to get to real quick. Number one, we have new Xavier Leggett sound. Now, we have good news and we have bad news. The bad news is Xavier Leggett, as I was informed by Anish Shroff on Thursday during Panther Fan Fest, it is Xavier Leggett, or at least that's how he's going to say it on the broadcast until told otherwise. Xavier Leggett.
Who told him?
I have no idea.
Did Xavier himself say?
He said it within our Diesel and I had a chance to talk to Anish, which we'll play for you later on. We sat down with not just Anish Shroff, but we got to sat down with Steve Smith as well. And I got to ask Steve Smith the question I told you I was going to ask him. Do you have prepackaged bleep talk when you are going to go talk to Roman Harper or tell Malcolm Jenkins that he sucks? Are you going to walk over to Darren Sharper and say, do you have it scripted? Is it like wrestling? You write down your promos? and then go deliver them? Or is it off the top of your head? So we'll play Steve Smith interview for you later in the show, give you some answers on that. But I got the chance to talk to both of them, and in that interview, Anish twice called him Xavier Leggett before we got to the end, and I was like, all right, we're going with Leggett, that's for sure, Xavier Leggett, because I've always heard it Leggett. And he said, that's what I've been told to do, and that's how I'm saying it on the broadcast. And I said, good enough for me.
Well, the thing is, I guess if you go with Xavier's accent, that's probably what it sounds like. So that Mullen, South Carolina accent.
Oh, you mean the one that Xavier Leggett says is normal? As the official translator for Xavier Leggett, what Xavier said there. That one seemed, of all the ones we've done so far, that one seemed like one of the easier ones to get. But in case you were lost there, Xavier Leggett said, I don't think I talk country. That's what a lot of people like to say. I think I talk regular. I think I speak regular. You know what, Zave? You do. Don't ever change. Don't ever change. Not a drop of you needs to change. All right?
You know what we need to do? We need to take a trip down to Mullins and just be man on the street and see if everyone talks that way. Because I don't know if I've been to Mullins or not. I probably have.
I'm going to tell you right now, anybody who grew up and that's how they talk, the food in that city, guarantee it slaps. Guarantee it is banging.
Maybe.
Guarantee it.
There's one way to find out.
Guarantee it. I'm all in, all right? I will go with you provided we get to make multiple food stops in Mullins. Because anything that produced Xavier Leggett, the American icon that he is, the food slaps, all right? It's a guarantee from me. Now, the bad news, unfortunately, is that Xavier Leggett, over the weekend, suffered a foot injury. Good news, x-rays came back negative. They were very concerned that it was a Lisfranc injury. Lisfranc injury is what kept Drew Brees out for almost an entire season when he was with the New Orleans Saints. It is not. That is the fortunate news announced by the Carolina Panthers. It is not a Lisfranc injury. However, they still don't know exactly what it is. He has an MRI that is scheduled for either yesterday evening or this morning. And hopefully that MRI will bring back further information about the injury that Xavier Leggett sustained and how long he will be out. I would not anticipate seeing Xavier Leggett on the football field this Thursday evening when the Cats travel up to New York to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, 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 Jets. I suspect Xavier Leggett will be treated with the kid gloves because why not? Because why not? You got to make sure this cat is good to go. If Xavier Leggett is not good to go, and I don't care how much growth he will need to go through to be ready for week one, but if Xavier Leggett is not ready to go for week one, it creates a problem for you. Either you've got to move TMJ or somebody else up into that wide receiver two slot that I believe Xavier Leggett will open the season with, or it means you got to put Adam Thielen into that number two slot. And we talked about this a little bit with Steve Smith and Anish Shroff. Adam Thielen did a wonderful job last year as wide receiver one. Doesn't mean he's a wide receiver one. He did a good enough job, but he's not one. He's a wide receiver three. And Anish Shroff, by the way, a guy who, and I can confirm after having talked to him, knows ball, agreed with me when I gave him that take. He's like, yep, that's the spot. So Xavier Leggett, if he is unable to open up the season week one on the football field as wide receiver two behind Deontay, allowing Thielen to be wide receiver three playing in the slot and slide John Mingo and TMJ into reserve roles, the season, a season that Lonzo and I both think the Cats have, and this is something else Anish Shroff said. Again, I'll play that interview for you probably in the next hour, probably about an hour from now. Anish said, this team in the first 10 weeks, which is something Lonzo and I both said, because I think if I recall correctly, when we broke the schedule down last week, great, when you had them opening, I think 3-2 or 4-2 or something like that.
Yeah, I had them doing pretty well and because of who they're going up against.
Yeah. I had them not as hot. I think I had them 1-4 out of the gate, but then I had them like 3-1 in the next four. Anish said, look, the way we look at it, the first 10 weeks of the season are critical. The first 10 weeks of the season are critical. And the first 10 weeks of the season are critical because the schedule just takes off after the bye week, right? After the bye week, you're looking at the Chiefs, the Cowboys staring you down. So you got to grab as many dubs as you can out of the gate in order to get there. You've got to grab the dubs early. So we want to be able to open up with the best. That's why this Xavier Legette thing is questionable. If the schedule was flipped and it opened with the Chiefs up front, I'd be like, all right, fine. You probably weren't going to win those games anyway. Let my man heal up. Let my man rehab. Let my guy be comfortable. But you open up with the winnable games. You open up with the games that you have to get right. You open up with the games that you have to, you got to be foot forward in week one. And if he is down, if he is out, I don't think you can do that. I don't want to put that much pressure on a rookie, but I don't think you have a choice because this year is about what? You don't have to like it. The development of Bryce Young. And if that guy does not open the season with his full complement of players, his full complement of skill position guys, then the job of Bryce Young in developing gets much more difficult before it even takes off, before week one. So you kind of hope that Xavier Legette's injury comes back as something minor. You kind of hope that it comes back as something that's not a big deal. But we'll wait for the results of the MRI to find out. Now, the second thing out of Panther Fan Fest that I have to bring up, and I bring this up because Lonzo and I, this may shock some of you, it is something we play very close to the vest. Lonzo and I, both wrestling fans, all right? Love some wrestling. Can I tell you what J.C. Horn did at Fan Fest on Thursday?
Oh, please do.
Do you know yet?
No, I do not.
Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. So, FanFest obviously taking place at Memorial Stadium, Death Valley, down in Clemson, South Carolina. That is the home, it may surprise you to learn, of the Clemson Tiger football program. The Carolina Panthers held their FanFest in Memorial Stadium. The Carolina Panthers held their FanFest on the field in which the Clemson Tigers play their football annually. Well, about 20 minutes before practice officially began, some of the boys started drifting out of the locker room to come out and do some stretching, do some jogging, get loose before practice. And the guys that came out, cleats, pants, no shoulder pads, no helmet. So they're drifting one at a time. BY comes out. Bryce Young takes a couple of jog laps around the field. The running backs come out. They're making cuts and whatnot. A couple of the wide receivers come out. They're running routes against air. And then out of the locker room comes the defensive backfield. And when the defensive backfield comes out, they are led by one former South Carolina Gamecock, J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn comes out. And I see him from down there. J.C.'s got those, he's got those big, thick braids. You can pick him out from the other side of the field. My dude comes out, and he's walking like real slow. And he's got the shoulders back. He's got the chest out. And I'm like, oh, my man's feeling himself a little bit. And then the Jumbotron camera zooms in on J.C. Horn. Why is J.C. Horn walking? Shoulders back, chest out? Because J.C.'s choice of costume that day was to put on maybe the boldest South Carolina Gamecock logo shirt I've ever seen. But it wasn't just that he wore it. That's one thing. Most of the other guys, though, you know, they're jogging around the outside of the field, or maybe they go on the field and run sprints out to the 50 and back or whatever. No, no, not J.C. J.C. walks to the wall because it was open seating. If you bought a ticket, you could come all the way down and sit first come, first serve on seats right next to the wall. And, of course, a lot of Clemson fans in the building, all right? J.C. comes out of the locker room and is very bold. Khaki with this big black Gamecock logo, the logo C with the Gamecock in it, comes out, shoulders back, chest out, and he walks around the wall of that stadium and he's just looking. And every time he sees a Clemson guy, he would just kind of make the turn and straighten the shirt out a little bit. And then he'd walk another few feet, and he'd look. And if he came up against somebody, what? And my favorite part was he was walking down in front. Diesel and I were up in the press box. We were in the away radio team press box right next to where Don Munson sits when he calls the game. And I'm watching this man do it, and I'm like, oh, you heel. I love it so much. And he gets at one point up to the wall in front of where there's like two or three kids in Clemson gear. And he stands in front of them, and he faces them, and he looks at probably two, three, 12, 13-year-old kids in their Clemson gear, and he looks at them, and just one more time, he goes, pops the shirt, and walks away. Not an interaction, no autographs. All right, most of the team walking around signing autographs, taking pictures with people, selfies, whatever. Not JC. If he saw you in the Clemson gear with him in the Gamecock shirt, you were catching eyes. That is fundamental heel behavior. You go into their house and you say, your local sports team and your university stinks, and I hate them, and I hope they never win another game. JC went with the most classic, fundamental heel move of all time. And it was excellent work. It was excellent work. Hey, we'll talk a little bit more about what we saw at FanFest coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Stayed for about the first half of practice before I got out up there on the road to the ATL. So we'll talk a little bit about what we saw, what we expect to see moving forward, where we are with Carolina Panthers. I will play you those interviews with Anish Shroff and Steve Smith later in the show. Stay tuned for that. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Texter says, J.C. Horn needs to worry about playing a full season without being hurt is what I would have told him. Get the out of here.
No, he played it safe. Everybody, you said everybody else was running. He just walked. Man. That's all I was thinking the whole time. He walked. He didn't get hurt while he did it. All right? He did inflict some pain on some people, but, you know, never got hurt himself.
It's true. Protect this man at all cost. If we need to send the National Guard to protect this man, you do it. All right? XL, my guy, my dog. I will say this, because somebody said, oh, there's Rob Brown and his Gamecock fan. No. If that camp was held in Columbia and it was held on the field at Willie B and a Clemson guy on the Panthers, of which there are none.
A Clemson guy on the Panthers.
But if you flipped it over and that happened, I'd have talked about that guy and the nuclear heat that he would have generated that I respect immensely. I love a dude going out there and dropping the bleep you on a stadium full of college rival fans. Never graduate.
All right, go ahead, Texter. Yeah, if they had a Clemson fan on the team, then they might win some games. Dang it.
All right, so let's go, and I'm glad you said that. Let's segue into something very else. Something else that is very interesting. There we go. Good at radio. That's why we win awards, all right? So, I stuck around. I did the show, Wire to Wire, with Cole Bryson and Diesel, without Cole Bryson, with Rob Brown. And after it was concluded...
Wait a minute. It was the real Diesel, right?
Yeah. Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and the real Diesel, without Cole Bryson, with Rob Brown and the real Diesel.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I did the show with D-Train, and after it was over, practice had been going for about 30 minutes. So we got eyes on for about a half hour. And then I said, I'm going to VIP, all right? I'm VIP, I'm going to VIP. That's where the VIPs are. That's where I'm going to be. So I went to the VIP, and I sat there in the luxury boxes. David Tepper was there, and this time I was 1,000% sure it was him. As was the boss, who sent me hilarious pictures of David Tepper trying to be a normal person, which was not working at all.
Was our boss hanging with him?
Our boss was not hanging with him. Okay. Our boss was just following the action from a distance and sending Diesel and I pictures while we're on the air.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Not saying anything else about it. So I walked over down to the... I walked over down to the VIP, and the VIP was in the luxury boxes, like the big area where the VIPs are hosted when they come down for Clemson games. And then I walked out and down to the seats where everybody was watching practice. And as I sat there, I looked out and I said, under. See, because during the first 30 minutes of practice, Diesel said, Rob Brown, over under 20,000 fans that show up for this event. And I said, I'm going to say under, but not much. I'm going to say 17, 18. Dude, there may have been 10,000 fans in that building. Maybe everybody, 10,000. And
well, I don't know how much that Wofford Stadium holds, but that thing is always pretty full. So
I don't either. I will tell you there were maybe 10,000 fans. Now, I will to some degree be willing to chalk up that, you know, maybe it looked a little sparse because it's such a big ass stadium, right? That building holds what? 70 something thousand people? So even if you put 20,000 in there, it's still not even close to halfway full. And that can make it look worse than it is.
Hey, to diehard Clemson fans, it's probably not that big of a deal, but for a lot of people, that's a pretty good drive up there, and it's kind of out of the way.
Sure.
And it's.
So I told Diesel on the air, I said, look, I think there's a lot of factors. Number one, the weather wasn't great. We sat and broadcasted in a monsoon for about half an hour. And of course, anytime it rains in the area, the humidity goes to 27,000% outside. So it wasn't super comfortable. It was hot and humid when practice started. I said, second thing, unless you live in and around Clemson, the next closest, let's say, city is what, Easley? Which is 35, 40 minutes up the road, right?
Depends on what you call a city, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like the next closest residential area that is not based around the university is Easley. You're looking 30, 35, 40 minutes down the road to get there, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I wondered, like, is this the result of Clemson not necessarily having those deep roots with the Clemson Tigers? Is this the result of them not fostering that relationship? Because, and I've said this before, if I'm an NFL fan, and I know this doesn't translate to those of you that are college-first fans, I don't give a rat's patoot about your college football affiliation when you make it to the league, all right? Because one of the things that I overheard people talking about in the stadium was, be a lot more people here if they drafted some Clemson guys. And while that might be true, maybe that's true. If Trevor Lawrence played for this team, maybe that place packs out. I don't know. But what I do know is you can't run an NFL team like that, all right? Can't run. And if that is what kept you from going, if you looked at that and said, I'm not going because there's no Clemson guys, you're not a Panthers fan. You're a Clemson fan who watches Clemson guys in the league. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not beating you up for that. What I am saying is, if you are talking about the center of operations for the Carolina Panthers, I don't use that stadium being, let's say, sparse as a reason that I change anything. I'm not going out of my way to draft Clemson guys. I'm not going out of my way to sign Clemson free agents. It just so happened that there's a handful of Gamecocks on the squad, a couple of Gamecocks on the squad. That's just how it works. None of these guys were brought there because of that reason. J.C. Horn got drafted because he was the best defensive back on the board at a point in the draft where they needed defensive backs, and he was the best one up there. So, you know, like, I look at that, and I go, yeah, you can be upset about it. I did get told, let me add one more layer to this onion. I was told on Sunday that after I left, that the Panthers, I bring this up because you guys know I'm not hashtag sources guy. All right. I don't like being hashtag sources guy. I was told by someone in local media that was at the event that about halfway through, the Panthers were telling local media, please do not film the stands of this event. Keep your cameras pointed on the field, on the players, because it was empty, right? Now, we can blame it on the distance from, you know, the majority of the population center of the upstate down to Clemson. We can blame it on the rain. We can blame it on the weather. We can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. The reality here is...
You got to blame it on something.
I blame it on the rain that was falling.
I got to tell you, I saw pictures that you guys posted. And in the background, you could see what little crowd was there. And that was my first thought.
Sparse.
Is that okay. There's no one there.
I blame it on the rain that was falling. I blame it on the drive that it took to get from Greenville, from Spartanburg down there. But I think we would also be a little bit remiss not to include as a variable, and I know this is something that Diesel has been on for a hot minute here. I think we would be remiss not to blame it on taking the Panther training camp away from Wofford and bringing it back to Charlotte. I think we would be remiss not to blame it on the fact that, with the exception of, and I will say this, as Lonzo and I work for the station of the Panthers here in the upstate, with the exception of directly with the media partners, Lonzo, quick question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or make anybody look bad, my answer is probably going to be the same. Outside of this event at Clemson and outside of training camp last year, what's the last Panther fan event you remember taking place around here? When's the last fan engagement you remember in Greenville, in Taylor's, in Lawrence, in Spartanburg, outside of camp?
Diesel's show every Sunday, which I believe is coming back.
Has nothing to do with the Panthers, okay? You're right.
I thought it was a Panther show.
It is a Panther show.
Okay, so.
But what I'm saying is, when's the last time the team came down here and did a fan engagement? When's the last time you saw Sir Per set up somewhere with the game on
front? When's the last time you saw the cheerleaders coming down? Training camp was here. That's enough. I mean.
Since they took them away.
No.
You ain't heard a damn thing.
No. Right? No, I was shocked to hear that they were coming back to Clemson. I was very shocked with that. And that's where they first started.
Which and that's is what why they did. That was 30 years ago, so they wanted to do a little tip of the cap to the roots of the team. And that's great. We talked to the president of the Panthers, Christy Coleman. She is a Clemson grad. She was super pumped about this being there. Great. But I will say that while I support this team, I hope they do well. As I've said many times, because if they do, Lonzo and I make more money. We're big fans of that. I do not recall, top of my head, any Panther directly from the team, any Panther fan engagements taking place in the upstate. It's not to say they're not happening, but I usually get a heads up for these things.
I would blame the sparse crowd on the venue. If they had it at Williams-Brice, and this has nothing to do with Clemson, it's closer to Charlotte. You're going to get some more Charlotte people coming down, and you're going to get more people from here.
They brought four buses of people from Charlotte, and it was still that empty. Of all the people you saw in there, there were four tour buses, like Greyhounds.
I get it.
Of people that came in.
I get it, but Columbia is closer to Charlotte than Clemson is. How many people who normally went to see the Panthers in Wofford, diehard fans that are there every year, said, nah, I'm not going because he pulled everything
away from there. That's part of what I'm saying. You took it away from Wofford. For the record, it makes more sense. We had punter Johnny Hecker on last week. Lonzo asked him about that. He said, look, there's pros and cons to both, but as a player, I'm always going to choose to be where my family is. I'm always going to choose to be able to leave practice and go home and sleep in my own bed and hang out with my wife and my kids. Because while team bonding is important, when you take me down and you stick me in a dorm room with the boys for a couple of weeks, yeah, we're going to bond. But I miss my wife. I miss my kids. I miss my own bed. I miss the creature comforts, right? But it's the opposite for the fans. If you're a fan in Spartanburg and you feel like the team was ripped away from you, even if it made sense for the team to do it, You probably, like, probably not a lot of ton of folks from Spartanburg were like, oh, let me drive down for a one-off practice in Clemson to see this team. Whether it's 10 minutes or 10 hours, they're not going to do it. But what I will say is, while I understand the Panthers' narrative was, is, still remains, one team, two states, one team, they wanted to be the Carolina Panthers, not the Charlotte Panthers, not the North Carolina, the Carolina Panthers. The relationship with the upstate, I think it was put on full display, is kind of broken. Because I'll tell you, in New Orleans, Louisiana, when I didn't grow up, when I was covering that team, when I was covering the Saints from Pensacola, because we were the flagship there, I'd go over to New Orleans, and they would do a training camp practice down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a couple of hours away. They would do training camps in other places, and it'd be packed the hell out. Because when you bring your team to another area, it should be no problem, especially in your footprint, no problem to get the hardcore fans of that team from that area to go, even if it's a one-off practice, I have to go watch, right? The stadium should have been halfway filled, at least a quarter filled, nowhere close. And I do think it is. And I've never brought this up on the show, bad idea or not. I think it showed the relationship between that team and this area is a little fractured right now. How do you fix it? I got no damn idea. But when I watched Manchester United and Liverpool play a soccer match in Willie B on Saturday night and pack that thing to the rafters with 80,000 people.
And there was really bad weather that went through there for a while.
And by the way, those teams are from
Columbia.
England.
I was in Columbia, and we went through some major storms. So,
and they put roughly 80,000 into that stadium. The Panthers maybe had 10 grand for an NFL team in the market versus 80K coming to watch two teams from a different freaking continent play soccer. You got me? All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, the three-time Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year, the Rob Brown Show, continues on. Lonzo, I don't know if they hand out awards for sports flashes, but if they did, Lonzo would win those too.
No. The fastest man in the world is an American, as Noah Lyles set a personal best 9.784 in the 100-meter dash, earning the gold over Jamaica's Keyshane Thompson by 0.005 seconds during the race. Lyles reached a top speed of over 27 miles per hour and became the first American to win the race since Justin Gatlin in 2004. Scandal around the Michigan football team grows as new head coach Sharon Moore has received an official notice of allegations from the NCAA. A copy obtained by ESPN says Moore could face a show cause penalty and potential suspicion for deleting 52 text messages from controversial advisor Connor Stallions. Remember him? Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryce and the Diesel get you up to date on the latest local national sports news, great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, all Wire to Wire.